What more do you want from me?
Oh, yeah. You already know what time it is, family. It's your good brother from the city of Philadelphia. Giving it to you on another Friday. And you already know what time it is, man. Do I have to? Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going. Yo, Sonny, tell him. Hold on.
Now you just can't leave.
Yeah, now you just can't leave. You're here. You're locked in. So. Welcome to another Philly Fridays edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And as I said to you before, we're pulling up here. We're doing it right. Fet Life Station, FetLifeStation.com. And if you want to catch us streaming, or if you want to see if you can catch the replay on demand, you can find us on many of your streaming networks. Just look for True Crime, True Stories Radio. True Crime, True Stories Radio. And you know what I mean? Your boy will be on deck. You know what I'm saying? We have a nice catalog we're building. And these shows are quite timeless, man, because we're dealing with a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? You know, first and foremost, man, wanna holler at my man's the brother, the plumber from the balloon pod. Bro, you've got to be smarter, B. You're out here telling people you lost your job. People are starting to talk about you. You know, you may not even be a plumber. I don't know any of that stuff, man. What I do know is that once you get the public eye and once you fall into the public opinion, you have to be very smart about how you carry yourself, because you leave yourself wide open and you don't know where they're coming from. People make it their business to do a deep dive on who you are. And it doesn't matter if you have one discrepancy in your past. They will take that thing and maximize it and utilize it to expose you, bro. And they got you up here, you know, doing a crowdfund. So, listen, man, for all the people, you know I covered this. And I still stand by what I say about the balloon show. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the brother is not distinguished himself very well since, you know, to do a GoFundMe and then being seen in the club making it rain, it's just not a good look, bro. It is just not a good look. You gotta be smarter than that, fam. You really do. You know what I'm saying? You know, this in today's day and time, man, you have got to be a lot smarter, B. So that, you know, that's my, you know, take on that, man. And you know, I just realized that the presidential debate was going on not too long ago. And when I chimed in, right? Oh boy, this is a waste of fucking time. You know, you got Donald Trump over here lying about, you know, what he did on January 6th. Like, and I'll give Joe Biden credit. He was like, yo, my, we were in the room with you. He said, we were in the room with you for like 3 hours. You know what I mean? We were there, man. We know what you did. Yeah. And, you know, it's man, I tell you, man, nobody lied better than a white man. Maybe white women, but they like neck and neck, B. I'm telling you. That is hilarious, home. I'm telling y'all, man. I'm sitting there. Why? Shoot. And the bad part about it all, right? A lot of that, the bad part about that piece, right? Was that, you know, I watched Joe, like I said, you know, these are the people that's actually, you know, vying to be leaders of the free world. You got on one hand Donald Trump. Everybody know who Donald Trump is. One thing about Donald Trump, he is not a chameleon. He's a liar, but he's not a chameleon. He is who he is and has been that way for a long time. Way back to the time he was partying with Jeffrey Epstein. Right? So, and then you got on the other hand, Joe Biden. It looks like somebody need to get Joe Biden some coffee. That man sounded like he was struggling. It looked like they just woke his ass up and said, yo, yo, Joe, you got a debate in like 2 minutes, bro. Get yourself together.
Jesus Christ.
Yo. I'm like, my God, they need to get that man a chair. He was struggling just standing up there. And I'm telling you, man, and here's the wildest part about all this, because you have to wonder, man, how long is Joe Biden going to be around? This man has been falling down. Like, this man has taken so many spills as a president, falling off bikes, falling, going up steps, just falling off stages and shit. Like, this dude, I think he fell backstage one time. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times, like, is he going to, you wonder if the next time he falls, if he's actually going to get back up. So, you know, I'm kind of like, I just don't know what to do about this here, know what to say. You know what I mean? But anyway, which I really need to worry about is if it looks like Trump is going to win, oh, there's definitely going to be a World War III. It is a known tactic that when presidents, especially incumbent presidents, are looking bad in the polls, oh, they're going to definitely, you know, march out the tanks and the aircraft carriers and, you know, the missiles. They're definitely going to do that. They're going to unleash the hounds. You know what I mean? So it's something to think about, man. You know, is this my wolf, John?
Got him. We fucking got him.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen, man. That's exactly how it's going to be. You know, we catch 22, man. And then you got to worry about the Civil War aspect of it, because those cats that launched that January 6th shit, most of those people didn't get in trouble. And they got more emboldened. So they going to be out here. You know what I mean? Now, me personally, I don't really give a damn, but I know a lot of y'all worried and concerned. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to think about, you know what I'm saying, the upcoming junk, you know? Yeah, man, there's been some stuff going on in the news too, man, with the WNBA. And typically, I would never cover a topic concerning the WNBA, because it's just not, the juice ain't necessarily worth the squeeze. But I'll give them credit, man. They're starting to actually, if you watch the games, you can get sucked in, especially if there's nothing else on TV. Like, it's a good way to pass the time sometimes, you know. And you have controversy. In the league, nobody typically cares about. You have all this controversy, and the controversy is actually drawing eyes to the league. You know, everybody know they had the college phenom, Caitlin Clark, who was hailed as the next coming. You know what I mean? And then you had her rival, Angel Reese. And they were both first-round draft picks in the WNBA. And they have had some physical encounters. There's no secret that these two women don't really care for each other. And this is something that, like, Angel Reese could learn from Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is, like, doing a masterful job at utilizing microaggressions in terms of like, so it looks like she's taking the higher road in regards to the competition, but on the basketball court, you can clearly see her character, and it ain't the high class upscale, you know, say the right thing. She's been coached very well on what to say. You know what I'm saying? Being a white woman in the black woman's league and a straight woman in the gay woman's league. You know what I'm saying? You know,
what?
So, she, always says the right thing. And Angel Reese is, you know, she hood. She's a very beautiful young sister. I can't take that from, she's a very beautiful young sister, especially when she's not wearing all that, you know, those, you know, long ass fingernails, and when she's not wearing those eyelashes that look like they can, you know what I'm saying, you know, sweep up snow. She's a very, very, very beautiful young sister, but she is just hood, and she has no filter, and she has not been taught the etiquette of how to handle a news conference or a press conference or the media. And nobody tells her. And in a league full of women, somebody should have pulled it to the side by now and said, if you want things to look a certain way, this is how you have to be. She should be coached more on that than basketball. She's good at basketball. She's terrible at this. So somebody should coach their young sister. But their rivalry is drawing interest to the league, which would normally be a good thing. But then some of the things that came from wanting to make the league a much higher scale league, it's costing the league like $50 million. They're going to lose $50 million just on that alone. They're now getting chartered flights instead of riding commercial. You know what I'm saying? Which, shit, just put us all in first class. I'll ride commercial. Let us be the first ones on the plane and the first ones off. We good. That's how they should have did it. Keep the bread in the house, family. You know, y'all don't want to look rich. You just want to be rich. And then Caitlin Clark has been excluded from the Olympic team, which cost the WNBA and $60 million in sponsorship. They just don't know how to. This is. I'm gonna speak to women's leadership in a minute. You know what I mean? I'm gonna speak to that in regards to certain things, and it's going to make a lot more sense when I speak to that a little later on. I'm just, if there's just some things that we need to sort out, that's all. You know what I mean? So yeah, but they've even had conversations about, in terms of like, I'm flipping back to the Trump and Biden shit, because they've even had conversations about maybe reinstituting the draft. And I'm like, shit, y'all better think twice about reinstituting the draft. You have the lowest morale of men, and probably since the inception of this country. 63% of men decided they no longer even want to enter the dating pool. And I believe that was, it wasn't Newsweek. It was one of those, it was a publication. It'll come to me soon, hopefully. You know, I guess it is. I'm getting old. As a matter of fact, you know, I just turned, you know what I'm saying, 50. And I appreciate y'all. Appreciate all the claps. You know what I'm saying? Just experienced my 50th birthday. And, you know, brother has not slowed down. And, I'm coming to some respite. I've been doing a little traveling on the road. I ride a little bit, but I had a nice little trip to North Carolina. You know, 10 hours there, 10 hours back, and I'm gonna tell you, man, the drive isn't that bad, but I'm gonna tell you, I freaking hate driving through the DMV area. I can't stand driving through the DMV area. Yo, all the twists and turns. It's never a time when the shit ain't crowded. 3 o'clock in the morning, it's buzzing out there. You know? But yeah, I went to North Carolina. I went to Charlotte. You know, I had family out there. My good brother Patrick Irvin. You know, got to spend some time with him and his sons. You know what I mean? And just chill, spend some time with my guy's sister. You know, gratefully in debt to. You know, because you know I needed that time. I needed it, and that's all I really wanted. You know, people are like, well, aren't you going to do this? Aren't you going to do that? I'm not that guy, y'all. I don't need to be partying. I don't need to do all that shit. My life is adventurous enough. I just need a freaking break sometimes. So I got that. And I'm going to tell you the most relaxing part of that trip was the drive coming back. Mostly, like I said, with the exception of driving through D.C., which wasn't that bad coming back, you know, because mostly went through the scenic route. But driving through going down and actually driving through the city. It's been a while since I've been through D.C. I've never really stopped in D.C. much, you know, but driving through D.C., man, I'm going to tell you, this shit was, I had to get gas, and I'm looking at these gas stations, and I'm looking at these hotels on New York Avenue. If anybody knows, New York Avenue is literally two blocks away from the White House. And I'm looking, and I'm about to pull into the gas station, and I seen this motherfucker with a do-rag on. And I know that sounds bad as hell, but it wasn't just that he had a do-rag on. You could tell this was some hood shit. And right next to the gas station was like a Days Inn hotel. And here's the thing that really like set it off. It was these people working on a minivan with the hood up. I said, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this. I got PA tags, you know, cats be waiting for you to pull up in these types of joints, man. I had to thug it out, man. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I had to wait until I got on the interstate again, man. It's funny because you look over, you see the Capitol building, you see the White House, you see all this stuff driving. And then you look to the side, the other side of Washington, New York Avenue, and you see the fucking hood. And it really is that close. And not that I have disparaging things. I live in the hood now, but it's different when it's your hood than when you go to somebody else's hood. So, you know, I mean, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have been all right. Most likely 99% would have been all right, but it's that 1%. I said, No, sir. But one of the funny things about going down there was that, it was a very good experience dealing with a lot of the ladies down there. And I'm not even talking about from a standpoint of trying to holler, because I really wasn't. I was just polite, my own natural polite self. The same polite self here in Philadelphia that draws icks and, you know, eyes getting rolled and teeth getting sucked. The ladies down in Charlotte was so much nicer. In speaking, and even if they weren't like having a good day, they still were polite. One sister, you know, I was holding the stores. I had to go do my Bojangles run. Had to do Bojangles, y'all. No. And I ran into Bojangles. Practically lived in Bojangles. But sister was running through the door. I'm so sorry. Because I held the door open, and she felt like she didn't get through it fast enough. I'm like, baby, you all right? You good? And I was blown away. I'm like, that shit would never happen in Philadelphia. I'd be lucky for her to even give a halfway thank you. And it just like dawned on me, like, damn, I'm in a different place. And there was also something else that happened when I was down there too. Let me see. Hold on a second, y'all. You know, I gotta stop the music when I'm about to do. There was something that happened when I was down there that is quite interesting. Hold on. Where is that? The hell? What is this shit on here? I'm sorry. Let me just drop down and find it real quick. Here it is. This happened to me when I was down there. Hold up.
You wanted to see me, Father?
Yes, please. Sit down. Sister Roberta came to see me yesterday.
I know what this is about, Father. Now, I didn't do anything. I just spoke to her innocently for just a few minutes. It's just that I have this power.
Yes, Kavorka.
Kavorka?
It is a Latvian word which means the lure of the animal.
I don't understand.
Women are drawn to you. She would give anything to be possessed by you.
Help me, Father. Help me.
Yes.
You wanted to see me, Father?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm down there, right? And you know, we went to the movies, right? Because my sister told me that Bad Boys, the new Bad Boys was out, and it was really good. So, you know, I was going to go by myself. But when I told my man I was going to go, he was like, damn, I want to go. So, shit, fuck it, we just going to go together. So, me, him, and his son met at the movie theater. Now, if you know me, I'm the type of dude that when I go to the movie theater, I actually need popcorn and icy. Ain't the healthiest shit, but it's just my thing, you know what I mean? So I'm in line, and first of all, this young brother who just didn't seem motivated at all to be at work was the one that was handling my line. The line next to us, you know, this other dude was just zipping through the orders left and right. So my man sitting there looking at me and him talking, and I happened to notice that the icy machine didn't look like it was fully functional. So I started making a comment about the icy machine. And next thing you know, this white woman that was in front of me turned around and started engaging. And all I could see was the metal in her mouth because how much she was smiling and talking to me. Now, I'm just talking about the icies. Like, yo, if the icies ain't working, it's a deal breaker for the movie. You know what I mean? I'm sitting here talking my thing. And she's just all up in it. I'm talking about she took the conversation to another level. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm like, where the hell is this coming from? Where is this going? And so she's just smiling just to turn around. Every chance she got, she's turning around, squinting the head to the side, squinting. And my man was like, bruh. And I know I talk a lot about the things, my concerns within the black community, specifically with black women and black men's relationships. But I am a man who only really dates black women. I don't date outside the race. You know what I'm saying? So it's awkward. Plus, white women scare me. You know, there's a long history of a white woman, you know, an eyelash getting harmed on a white woman. And next thing you know, black man tied to stakes and all types of shit. I'm cool. But everywhere I went in Charlotte, there were white women just like throwing them. So I had to beat them off me with a stick, which was insane. Like I said, I didn't have any bad experiences with the sisters, but the white women were just like making it plain, and I'm like, come on, this is heavy. It's no wonder so many brothers are down there getting caught up. Yeah, it was the Kavorka, but I wasn't going to do what Kramer did. That was a clip off of Seinfeld, by the way. But there was an episode. There was something else, though, an experience I had with a sister that kind of like threw me for a loop. And maybe y'all can help me with this. Because there was a gorgeous sister in the Family Dollar store. I went there looking for some things. It's a Family Dollar in every damn city. Plenty of them. And so she couldn't help me with anything. I was like, you know, I'm looking for a charge port for my phone. I'm looking for water. She didn't know where a damn thing was in that store. I think all she was tall and pretty. And so I ended up buying a container, and it shit happened to be like 53 cents. And she was there at the register. I had a dollar. So I guess she was expecting me to charge it. I actually had a dollar on me. Gave her the dollar, and I'm just sitting there waiting, looking around. And I noticed that she was struggling with the register. She just had a bunch of change in her hand. And I'm looking at her like, are you okay? She's like, 53 cents. 53. I said, oh, shit. Sweetie, you got to give me change. The thing costs 53 cents. You have to give me change for a dollar. She said, oh, okay. And just stuffed a whole wad of change in my hand. And, you know, was looking around like she was really embarrassed. And I guess so. Because, well, how the hell you don't know change for a dollar? And that's what these kids struggling with now. The school system's so screwed up. Not just the school system, but just everybody. If your child leaves the house at 5 years old and can't get change for a dollar, you failed as a parent as well. So she ended up giving me like 50. I think she gave me 53 cents in change, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't want to give it back because she was already embarrassed, and I didn't want to embarrass her anymore. So I just took it and left the store, but shit. You know what I mean? And then the food, you know, I don't know what it is, man. My stomach has been on 10 this week. You know, it's like the food from the north and the south was just engaged in the extension of the Civil War. And it's taking place in my belly. It was just horrible. But anyway, y'all. That's TMI. Let's get to it, man. First and foremost, before we do anything more, man, I got a message from my man Ace Vane. Because my man Ace Vane, if y'all don't know, Ace Vane does the, you know, voiceovers. So I got a message from my man Ace Vane. Hold on.
Ruined ass for me, bro. How do you ruin ass? I see it too much, bro. Y'all don't have no other marketing plan. I used to love ass and titties. And big booty bitches. But social media has ruined that for me. I don't look at ass the same no more, bro. It's just another ass. I look at it for different reasons now. I'm like, damn, asses really be stank sometimes. These hoes use the bathroom with their ass. Like, I'm looking at ass like it's supposed to be looked at now, besides looking at it the totally wrong way. This is not right. Bro, I shouldn't be fucking looking at bitches for other qualities. I want to be an ignorant ass nigga that just like ass titties and look at women as objects, but y'all have ruined
that. That's the problem right there. See, women ain't twerking for you, we twerking for us. It's about our ownership and expression of our...
Look, you can do whatever the fuck you want with your own body. I am not against any of it. Just get it the fuck off my algorithm so I can appreciate ass again. Some old bullshit. I'm getting interested in hoes with hobbies and shit now. What the fuck?
But he brings up a point, and I brought this point up back in 2020. I noticed when we had the lockdowns and women wasn't getting the attention that they were used to getting, how they turned their Facebook storylines and Instagram storylines into practically, you know, commercials for OnlyFans. And so, and we're just tired of it, man. Every time you turn around, somebody's twerking. We tired of it. This shit is old. Don't you have another talent? It's like when the camera goes on, first thing y'all do is turn around, put your booty to it. Like, is that the best you got? People typically leave with their best quality. We're tired of this shit. Tired. Y'all, it ain't even, like, I see chicks twerking, I lose interest. Not interested. I'm done with it. Jesus Christ, I don't even understand it. And it doesn't even matter what status or class the sister's in. She could be bourgeois or right from the streets and the same twerking behavior takes place. You're getting on my twerking mind. Your twitches need to stop. Shit. So I just want to put that out there. Speaking of, man, yo, there was a picture, like, you know, Chris Brown, the singer, was out there putting out pictures, and it was a great marketing plan. This man probably, I don't know how many hundreds, he probably made a couple hundred thousand doing this, but he was charging people like $1,100, like $1,117, something like that. It was tied to a date. And you know, all the, you know, there was a brother who, you know, had a white girlfriend. I'm going to put it out there. She ended up taking the picture, and like, you know, you can definitely see their sexual areas were in contact with one another, and he broke up with her. And people were just calling him shallow, this, that, and the other. Let me explain something to y'all. If you don't respect me enough, I don't give a damn if it's a superstar. I don't give a damn if it's a fantasy, this, that, and the other. You're too old. You're too old to be talking about it's a fantasy. Because then I know some brothers with some porn star fantasies that y'all would be flipped. Listen. Can't be out here, you know what I mean, doing all types of stuff. You know, women, y'all just want the right to do everything. Even if it's extremely disrespectful and dishonest. No man of any self-respect would be with a woman if she did something like that. I don't give a damn who the other man was. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the only superstar, superhero in your life as a man. And if you don't feel that way, you shouldn't be with me. Period. Because I wouldn't dishonor you that way. I wouldn't dishonor you, disrespect you. Half y'all get mad when your man like a chick's Facebook post and you think she's prettier than you. And you know, y'all want to sit here and you want to always use sign language. And brothers need to stop letting that shit. And you panda bears, you know what I'm saying? Y'all dudes are the worst. You realize these women ain't even with y'all. Y'all talk all this fly shit because they give y'all social media attention, likes, and give you a dopamine hit through that. Some of y'all are just like the women when it comes to attention. And how attention give the women the tingles. Some of y'all dudes get the tingles too. It's crazy to me how that works. I mean, do you get like funny, like you get butterflies in your stomach when you see, you know, you're getting attention from the ladies and fellas? Man, oh my God, I wish some of y'all would run head first into a, for real, man. Y'all dudes are the worst. I can't stand the pandering man. I don't trust the pandering man. The pandering man to do wild things out here in these streets. Pandering man to get you backdoored. Especially if it's over a woman and he's getting her attention. A lot of dudes are in jail right now because they were pandering for a woman. Or pandering. She don't even have to be his wife, girlfriend. She could be a cousin or whatever, sister or whatever. And he's out here, or just a friend. And he has no chance in hell getting with, but he's, oh, that's my sister. Man, shut your nut ass up. I'll get on my nerves with that, man. But I want some real stuff, y'all. I'm a play this clip because I wanted to play this clip last week, and it's ironic that I brought this up, man. Because you know, last week it's ironic. I brought this up last week and I couldn't find it, and you know, God works in mysterious ways because he probably thought he knew that I would need it this week. This was the message I had put up last week from a good brother down in out of Baton Rouge, Boosie Badass.
It opens a door.
Right.
It even opens a door for old beef that you could have had in Toronto. Well, now it's time to attack because you know who's going to get the rap? Kendrick Lamar. It opens up a whole door. People used to do it in the hood. We're going to wait until they get into it with somebody else. Then we're going to go crash them. Because you know who's going to get the blame? Those people.
Well, yeah.
And then, Vlad, hold on. When another rapper friend picks this side, the one who don't like him, who never had a reason to go to him, but now he does, he's going to go at him. So now it's a tic-tac-toe beat. And on top of that, you got that little mother who you did that feature with caught. Hey, you know he in that city. You know he in my city this weekend. What you want to do? And all it takes is for one of these motherfuckers to have a bad day and going through it. Every city, one when people know B, people who really in the streets, they're looking for a come up. They're looking for money. Someone do it on the street without even talking to you. They will go bust his ass and call, man, I did that, man. Look out for it. It opens a door.
Right.
It even opens a door for.
And that in itself You know, and Boosie has been involved in a lot of beef in Baton Rouge, like a lot of civil wars in Baton Rouge. And one of the things, this part of this other interview, he was talking about, he had a back and forth with a good brother, NBA Youngboy. And he was telling Youngboy that basically we need to stop this before somebody gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because Youngboy has been getting into it, and he's allegedly been involved in some war type stuff going on in the streets out there. So, you know, and I say that because this past weekend, actually on the day of my birthday, there was a rapper by the name of Julio Fulio, who was murdered outside a Holiday Inn in Tampa, Florida, after celebrating his birthday, which was June 21st, and spending time out there all weekend. And many of you know, I've talked about this. He was a rapper from Jacksonville, Florida. And they were mired into, there were two gangs in particular that were responsible for probably about 40 or 50 murders in Jacksonville. So, but not only that, the drill rap scene, this whole concept where you diss your dead ops or you diss your homies, the dead homies. And he was one of the most disrespectful rappers when it came to that. The other guy, Youngin' Ace and his crew, they were just as disrespectful. This is probably the most disrespectful feud anywhere in the country. It probably is worse than the feuds that we see in other cities right now, or have seen in other cities right now. And, you know, it's kind of crazy when somebody gets killed and very few people are saying rest in peace. But you have a whole cadre of people, Charleston White being probably the loudest one, who are saying he deserved what happened to him. Now, Fulio is what he's typically called, you know. He had been shot three other times prior to this. Once when he was in high school. I'm not sure if he was in high school. I believe he was in high school. He got shot getting off a school bus. And he got shot. He was doing a remote publicity thing out in Houston. And he got shot. They shot up his car while he was driving it. And he got grazed with a bullet across his head. Then maybe last November, I believe, he was coming out of last November he was at a gas station and got shot up and got shot in his foot or whatever, either the gas station or a record studio. I know he got shot at coming out of a record studio and he thought somebody set him up. But like this shit is all day long with these cats. And they finally caught him around 4:40 in the morning outside of the Holiday Inn and came directly for him. These cats got out the car. There's footage of them running out the car, and they didn't show them running up to him. But, you know, and so allegedly there's going to be an FBI investigation concerning this. And a lot of people don't understand, man. Interviews leading up to this, he was talking about, he was talking from a place of, you can tell he's getting tired. Like, this shit wasn't fun no more. Wasn't exciting no more. Like, it's one thing when you're the one pulling the shooting everybody, and, you know, allegedly he's been a part of that part too. But it's another thing too when you get tired. And there was another, he wasn't necessarily a drill rapper, but his name was popular in the drill scene up in Chicago. It was a young brother by the name of T. Roy. And allegedly T. Roy he's notorious. Like, people that he was cool with was scared of him because they just didn't know whether or not he was that type of a cold-blooded killer. And dude was like 5 feet tall. But just that, and allegedly he was bullied a lot, and that's when he turned into, you know, that's when he resorted to shooting people. That was his origin story. But this last time he went, he saw like a Instagram post or something, and it had a location of somebody he was trying to get at. He took a bus down there. You know how crazy it gotta be to take a bus to go do a hit? And he got down there, he shot at the guys, but he missed them. But then the guys doubled back and followed him into the store. And this is on foot. This is on video. And they walked up to him. And he had enough time to react, but he didn't. And about 3 seconds later, the guy shot him in the chest. And I'm not going to describe the graphic nature of what happened next, but basically he died in that store. But you could tell that people even saw the video and was like, that's not him. But you get tired. That life is not for long. You can't just go around doing that shit. It should take something from you every single time. You lose a little bit more of your soul if you have any left at all. And I want to get down to how it kind of got to this place, right? You know, because we talk about the decline of culture and civilization and so forth. But the black community is different because this is something that's been thrown at black people for a long time. When you talk about coming out of, coming into slavery and coming out of slavery and so forth, there was a policy put in place that wouldn't allow black males to ever grow up to be black men. And there's laws and policies on the book from vagrants laws and things of that nature. Not allowed to own land and being strung up for eyeballing and having a man in his 60s have to step out into the street if a white boy that was 5 years old was on the same sidewalk and have to say sir to a 5 year old while the 5 year old called him out of his name or called him by his name or called him boy. A lot of people don't understand the psychological condition and the epigenetic epigenetic memory that comes through. And you deal with that in the conditions. And nobody really gives a damn because it happened to black men. I'm saying it. So you had that. You had Jim Crow. You had the war on drugs. You had the community flooded. You had crime laws put in place. You had sundown towns. All these different things that led to the current crisis that we have right now. Most importantly, the last faction of the war on drugs was two-pronged. The crack cocaine era, in which they took crack cocaine, the monies from it, to wage war in Nicaragua and sell missiles to Iran. Meanwhile, decimating the community. And this time it worked because not only did the men get on drugs, but unlike when the heroin epidemic, the women were on drugs. The mamas were on drugs. The grandparents were on drugs. And it destabilized the entire community. So you had one crew, Joe Biden, Ronald Reagan, mandatory minimum, 3-strike laws. And it destroyed the faction of manhood that existed. Even then, there was a code. Hell, when I was younger, they wouldn't even let me on the corner. It wasn't no forceful shit, but it was more like, yeah, go ahead, man. I'll catch up with you later. And there was a subtle way of saying, bro, you don't belong out here. That don't exist no more. Now you put on a white t-shirt, anybody can hang on the freaking corner. And there's no respect. And too many of our communities are run by women. Women make poor leaders when it comes to nation building. Women always want to be diplomatic when it comes to, they want to be liberal when it comes to certain things that should be shut down. So let me let y'all hear this, right? Let me see if I can find it. Let me, where is it at? Real quick, right? Let me see. So no, I just pulled it up. All right. Come on, open up. Now check this out, right?
It is 94 fucking degrees in Philly today. Somebody please explain to me why the fuck our kids are dressed like this. Why the fuck are y'all kids dressed like this? Some bullshit.
So that was a clip of a man watching all these young boys walking around with hoodies and poo-shiesties on, black hoodies. They're all dressed in black. And maybe they're not, but it gives off the impression of gang activity. And I hate to be somebody that that characterizes our children or this, that, and the other. But in this day and time, with so many of, when you see what's happening, when you dress like this, you associate yourself with the people who are actually out here doing this shit in the streets. Right? So let me read you some of the comments and why I say that our women, this is why you can't have women running nations, and especially the condition ours is in. All right? So, and this was the no-go zone, right? Shit, what the hell? I just had this thing up here. It took me forever to find it. Hold on, I find it online, guys. Let me see, hold on. All right, I don't need the most relevant. I need all comments. There we go. And this is opening up on Facebook Reels. I don't want to see it on Facebook. I'm trying to look at the Instagram post. But there was a sister, a Muslim sister, in fact, who stated that, and I'm sorry, y'all, I'm trying to read the direct quote, but I pulled it back on my phone. You know, the Instagram does silly shit like reset your page. But so she basically, what she said was that we should stop judging these young men and things of that nature. Hold on. Okay, I found it. So, okay. Let me turn the volume down. Her response was, these kids can't catch a break. They're minding their own business, shaking my head. Who cares if they wear hoodies? Maybe they just aren't hot. I wear a garment, and people swear that I be hot all the time, and I'm shaking my head. See, it's because it's a few comments like this, and mostly from women and emasculated men. When it comes to understanding what needs to happen and what needs to take place, men make better decisions. Men actually understand what's good and what needs to go when it comes to the sake of a nation, right? Now, so certain things, you know, through deductive reasoning, lead to the decimation of your nation. It leads to the destruction of your nation if you allow it to continue. All right? So therefore, you have to apply critical thinking. What are the pros and cons of allowing such things to go forth? What are the pros and cons of walking through a dark alley 3:00 in the morning with flickering lights and hearing people heckle and scream in the alley? What do you think could possibly happen? Are there going to be more positive outcomes or negative outcomes? You have to take that into consideration, because that's where we got to, the drill culture. Oh, the, you know, it was a young brother here in Philly. I don't recall his name, but he was integral in the drill culture, because when he was murdered, several of the different gangs took on pieces of his name. All right. And they identified that this brother was rapping. He was drill rapping, talking about what his Mac Millia do, this, that, and the other. And his mother, he said, "Mom, listen to my music." She listened to me. She said, "Oh, okay, he can rap." Ma'am, did you listen to what the fuck he was saying? Did you hear the music? Did you listen to the lyrics? You talking about stuffing people into a trunk. And it wasn't just music. They were actually talking about things they were doing. And see, I say emasculated men because only emasculated men. If you're a father and you listen to that and you say, oh, my son got bars, or you, oh, he just, you know, he part of the coast, he part of the street, I was in the streets. Bro, you want that for your kids? You want ducking, dodging bullets whizzing past your head, surviving gunshots, you spending time in jail? You want that shit for your kids? So we live in an era of weak leadership in a matrifocal society. That's we living in a black community. And it was done purposefully. It was planned. They done experiments on animals, lab rats and lab mice. Look up Mouse Utopia. Watch the documentary Mouse Utopia. And look at how they did that. Then go study the implementation of the Great Society plans. Giving you all the resources at your disposal, you just can't have a man around you. They did the same thing with the Mouse Utopias. Guess what? The mice, the rats, because they have Mouse Utopia and Rat Utopia, they all formed gangs. They would go around biting each other's tails off. Then some would lose the will to live. You had a population boom. And then next thing you know, you had a fall of the Great Society. Some of the mice got so depressed that they just stopped fucking eating. They stopped doing anything. And that's what happens when you have, when you don't have any drive and ambition for your nation. When you're just satisfied with what's been given to you. And that's when you have drill rap and all these other subcultures. You have the drill raps. You got the women out there with slut culture. You got the Sukianas. You got the sexy reds. The Meg Thee Stallions. You got all these cats out here. So guys are talking about killing each other and the women are talking about being out here whoring with one another. Nobody is out here doing anything productive. And you got people talking about, there was somebody else in this comment too. I'm going to see if I can find this other sister. Let me see if I can find it. Because there's some people responding to that. Somebody else said something. If I could find the comment. And like I said, emasculated male. Why is everybody so mad about something they're not wearing? They want to pass out. It's just so be like dumbass. These cats are out here hiding their faces because they don't, a lot of them are hiding their faces because they don't know when or not they're going to drop somebody. You know, it was just so many things I'm reading, and sometimes you need to take a break from a lot of this stuff. You know, you got people talking about they used to do certain things, and listen, you should have learned from your issues and from your mistakes. We're going on 4 summers in a row with these cats out here wearing hoodies in 90 degree weather. Shit is insane. And too many of them are tied into this. You look at your gang maps in your city and you see the neighborhoods that have color, and they are not even the most updated versions of the gang maps that are out there, right? Or the gangs that are actually out there on your streets. This bothers me because I'm tired of seeing our young people die. I'm tired of seeing them not have any ambition. I'm tired of seeing them not have any hope to live. This guy, Julio was asked several times in the last month whether or not he cared if he died. And he said no. He basically gave the floor plans to anybody who was looking to kill his ass. And it's a difference between not being afraid to die having the heart of a warrior, having the heart of a lion. Hold on. When you walk around like this. There's a difference between being like that, the heart of a lion, and not being afraid to die and go into battle, and simply not caring if you die. There's a huge difference. For one, if you're out here and you're not afraid to die, you might do some brave shit. You might run into a burning building to save somebody else's life. You might see a firefight take place, and instead of running and ducking for cover yourself, you go jump over a cover a kid that's out there in the street. When you don't care, you're liable to crash out on some of the most reckless stuff. A child sitting on the porch or on the middle of the street just enjoying being outside is in danger because you're around. You don't care if you die, so you don't even care who rolls up on you. And all these little Negroes have bad aim, so they're gonna hit everybody but you, and you don't care. And there's a lot of these young brothers that don't care. They don't even care when their friends get killed. They've lost hope. They've lost touch with reality. They treat this shit like it's a game. And that's because we've all kind of lost touch with our humanity. I say a prayer every night for the community. All these people talk about they're on demon time and they're real demons walking out in the street, and they do operate like demons. But what is a demon to God? God has been missing in our community for a long time. First, they took God out of the schools, and then we took God out of our houses. And now you got brothers out here.
What more do you want from me?
All I can do is hope and pray it gets better and continue to work with the young people. I'm going to talk about some of the plans I have over the next few weeks if I get a chance. But it's little simple things that everybody can do if it's in your heart to do so. It's not out yet. There's still some light. Remember, it takes a village to raise a child. But if the child does not feel the warmth from the village, the child will burn down the village just to feel its heat. That's the whole African proverb. We need to take that into consideration. So once again, thank you for tuning in for Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. And as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. See you next week.